Today is called Laetare Sunday, or Rejoice Sunday, which comes from the opening antiphon at the beginning of Mass. We chanted right before the song. Rejoice, Jerusalem, all who love her, be joyful, all who were in mourning. With these joyful words stand in stark contrast to the sad words that we sang a little while later in the responsorial psalm. By the streams of Babylon, we sang, we sat down and wept when we remembered Zion. These words from today's psalm, these words of mourning and lamentation, were written about 2,600 years ago. But in a sense, those words are timeless. They belong to every age, from the time of Adam and Eve until today. The psalm was probably written during the Babylonian exile, the Babylonian captivity of Israel, sometime between the year 586 and 538 BC. We read about this in today's first reading, where it said, those who escaped the sword were carried captive to Babylon, where they were made servants of the king of the Chaldeans and his sons. In 586, the Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar attacked and conquered Judea, and in the process destroyed Jerusalem, which is also called Zion because it's on Mount Zion. And in particular, he leveled the temple located in Zion. And when he left Jerusalem, going back to Babylon, he took almost all of the educated and noble class of Jews, including the priests and the scribes, took them back to be in captivity in Babylon, where they would be basically like slaves. And he left only the poor and uneducated Jews behind so that no one could mount a rebellion or organize a government against him. In effect, he destroyed the nation of Israel. And so you can see how the exiles would mourn and long to return to their home. But it wasn't just their home that they missed. They missed most especially the temple of Jerusalem, which was God's home. As we also read in today's first reading, it says, the Lord's temple, which he had consecrated in Jerusalem, was his dwelling place. The thing is, the Jews knew that their exile was a punishment for their sins. But now, how could they be reconciled to God if they didn't have their temple to go to and worship in the way they were supposed to? If they couldn't offer the sacrifices that they were supposed to? And so they sing not only of weeping as they remember their home, remembering Zion, but they mourn specifically because, as the psalm says, how can we sing a song of the Lord in a foreign land? How can they worship God where he does not live? And all of this because they had sinned. But as I said, this psalm really belongs to every age because it's a psalm lamenting sin and the consequences of sin. Lamenting the loss of our home with God because of sin. So it really belongs to all men back to Adam and Eve, because by their sin they lost their home in God's paradise. And since then, all of us, their sons and daughters, have longed to return to that home with God, paradise. But as we read in today's second reading, God is rich in mercy, and so he would not abandon us to our sins. And so he has, from the beginning, had a plan to bring us back home to him. This plan began with the establishment of a special people, his very own chosen people, the Israelites, from whom would come forth a Savior for the whole human race. And so this song of lamentation for the loss of home by sin belongs particularly to Abraham and his ancient descendants, the Israelites, the Jewish people of ancient times. But even though they were the people that God had chosen to bring about the reconciliation of all men to himself, the Israelites themselves repeatedly broke their own covenant with God and suffered for their sins, even to the point of losing their home. We see this perhaps most dramatically in the Babylonian exile that we read about. For almost 700 years, they lived under the law of Moses, the law that Moses, that God had given to Moses like a father teaching his children with caring and patience how to live and to love each other and how to love and worship him. But time and again, they broke those commandments. They broke their father's law, and they worshiped him with false acts of piety, sacrifices that weren't from the heart, but just were going through the motions. In today's first reading, it tells us, quote, "In those days, all the princes of Judah, the priests and the people, added infidelity to infidelity, practicing all the abominations of the nations and polluting the Lord's temple, which he had consecrated." And time and again, they broke his commandments, and time and again, he punished them for their sins. Sometimes by great defeats in battle, sometimes by their enemies conquering them and forcing them off their land or taking their possessions from them. But finally, around 600 years after Moses had died, he allowed the Babylonians to conquer them completely and take them from their home and take them in captivity to Zion. But while the Babylonian captivity lasted only about 50 years, the Hebrews would never really fully regain possession of their home again. Even they would go back to Jerusalem and to Israel, to Judea, it wouldn't be theirs because it would be occupied by an enemy. After the Persian king Cyrus conquered Babylon, he sent the Jews back to Zion. But Zion was still part of the Persian kingdom. And when the Persians were defeated by the Greeks, the Jews then became subjects of the Greeks. And when the Greeks were conquered by the Romans, the Jews became subjects of the Romans. So we come to the time in history of the world about 540 years later, a time when the Gospels refer to as the fullness of time. The days when Caesar Augustus ruled almost all of the Western Europe and Northern Africa and the Middle East. And his friend Herod the Great was his puppet king in charge of Judea for him, headquartered in Jerusalem, with a phalanx of Roman soldiers there to protect him. The dwelling place on earth of the Most High God was held captive by pagans of Rome, so that the Christians of the first century would call Rome the New Babylon, and they were subject to the New Babylonian captivity. And so the people of that age also cried out in song, "By the streams of Babylon we sat and wept when we remembered Zion," the way it's supposed to be, not the way it is. But God would still not abandon man to sin. And he had promised Adam and Abraham and Moses and all the prophets that he would redeem his people, that he would bring them home to live with him, but not merely on an earthly Zion that could be corrupted by sin or destroyed or occupied by an enemy, but to live with him in the eternal life of the heavenly Jerusalem, God's true home. And so we read in today's gospel, "God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life." God the Son entered the world, being born in the midst of the chosen people. Once again, God revealed himself to his people, but this time, not through mere laws or the words of prophets. This time, God himself, the Son, came in the flesh, physically, to his people. And so we read today, "God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him." Jesus came not to prolong mankind's exile, but to bring man back home to God. But again, many chose not to serve God, but to sin. And so Jesus tells us the light came into the world, but people preferred darkness to light because their works were evil. And so we read in today's gospel, the Son of Man was lifted up on a cross just outside the city of Jerusalem, a cross looking down on Zion. And the Song of Lamentation belonged to those who killed him, the Romans and the Sanhedrin. And to those who watched him die, his blessed mother, St. John, the Magdalene, and the holy women. And it belongs to all those for whom he died, you and I, and all mankind. We all sing. By the streams of Babylon, we sat down and wept when we remembered Zion. Throughout the long history of Israel, and even all the way back to Adam, men and women have mourned their sins and lamented losing their home with God. This is the terrible fact of the history of mankind. But the glorious fact of the history of mankind is that for every time man has sinned and lost his home with God, God has come back and offered them reason for hope. So that in every age, as he hangs his head in sorrow for his sins, he also lifts up his head to see God's forgiveness. So just as the Babylonian exiled God's people, only to have the Persians send them home to Jerusalem, in a similar way, just as Jesus is lifted up on the cross to die for our sins, he is also lifted up in the resurrection to live eternally and to bring us all home to the heavenly Jerusalem. Today on this Laetare Sunday, Holy Mother Church reminds us that even as we meditate on the darkness of our sins, we remember the light that shines in the darkness and hope shines through our mourning. Even as our eyes are fixed during these 40 days of Lent on Christ crucified, we also look through the cross to see Jesus resurrected. And even as we lament our sins and mourn the loss of our heavenly home, praying, we sat and wept when we remembered Zion, we also remember God so loved the world that he gave his only Son so that everyone who believes in him might have eternal life. And so now as we enter into the mystery of the Holy Eucharist, the mystery of the cross and resurrection, the mystery of the eternal sacrifice of the heavenly temple, the mystery of God giving his only Son to and for the world, the mystery of the eternal Jerusalem descending now down to earth and lifting us up into heaven. As we do all this at this Holy Eucharist, we sing, "Rejoice, Jerusalem, and all who love her, be joyful, all who were mourning." Praise be Jesus Christ. Amen.